This podcast is presented by Steak Sauce Media.
Grab a joint, drop the veil, and cruise the multiverse with the Chronic Gals.
Let me tell you a little something about the Chronic Gals. Just two best buds and the very best pals. Talking about cannabis, that good, that tree. So grab a joint and just spark with me. Hey!
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Chronic Gals Podcast. I'm Ashleen.
And I'm Riley.
And we are here with Melissa Jansen.
Hello.
Jansen and Co. Mindset and confidence coach. Thank you for being here, Melissa.
Thanks for having me. This is going to be so fun.
It's going to be awesome. And one last little credential. Friend of a decade.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Decade-long friendship.
Yeah.
I would say more than a decade, like maybe 11 years.
So,
yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, we're almost at 23, and I think I met you guys in 2011. So,
something like that.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that's about when I came back from the East Coast.
That's true. I came back in 2012.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we.
Yeah.
Friendship for lifetime.
Around then.
Time is a relative.
It's lifetime. Time is a relative.
We've known each other for a long ass time.
I love it.
It's been so great. And now here we are together on the podcast. We're going to smoke some weed. We're going to talk about all of the cool things that you have going on in your life.
Woohoo.
And chat.
It's going to be a great podcast.
So do we want to start with the weed that we're reviewing today?
Yes, I think we should. We are reviewing Fire Mountain. I had a sticker. Fire Mountain Cannabis today, and they're out of Ariel, Washington, which is like kind of close by.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Half hour or so.
I was gonna look it up and then I didn't.
It's like a common place that people who enjoy going to the woods in our area like to go,
like Merwin Lake.
Yeah. Yale, Lake Merwin and Yale. Yeah,
somewhere around there.
Anyway,
definitely identify where they're from.
I was just gonna say.
Anyway, but we're really excited. We have three different strains, and I think we have like a really good like beginning, middle, and end strain group. So we have Green Crack, we have Forbidden Fruit, and Dosey Punch. And these nugs are so beautiful.
Yeah, they are pungent, they are fat, they are frosty, they are, well, we don't know what they taste like or feel like yet, but we're going to do that.
Smell
next.
Good, though.
Yeah.
Dang.
You open the jar and it's like, poof.
Yeah, totally. So I figure we'll do Green Crack first.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
I'm going to propose a couple different things.
Okay.
Green Crack. What is this? Dosey Punch number 3 and then Forbidden Fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Or we could go backwards. Forbidden Fruit, Dosey Punch, bring us back up with Green Crack.
At the end? Whoa. That's a role reversal. I'm down.
Time's irrelevant. I'm down for whatever. I think that maybe ending, on a higher note would be...
Because we do still have a work day.
That's true. That's true. Let's do it.
Okay.
So we're going to start with Forbidden Fruit, which
this
is
not expected. I'm very excited.
Classically, very much a downer. So
where did those COAs go?
They're over on the desk under the external hard drive over there. I don't think they ended up came out with the terpene test, though. I was looking at it. I want to say you have to pay extra for terpene tests, which is silly, analytics labs. Let's just bundle it all in because the people want to know. This is like a community service would be just to include terpenes in your normal testing. And then we'll know.
Yeah.
Then we'll have the information.
Yeah.
And even like the library, like to begin the collection and of data. Which I don't know if there's anybody collecting data like that, but
so purple.
Someone should be. Okay.
If I remember from what I've been learning lately correctly, is that the terpene profile is a little bit better of an indicator of how the weed will affect you versus indica sativa hybrid. That's more of a characteristic of the plant, like physical trait, than it is how it makes you feel.
Totally.
I do have lineage. I forgot. Nice. I do have lineage. But you're so right.
I'm learned.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It's in an email. Cherry pie and tangy for forbidden fruit.
Cherry pie and tangy. Okay, which, interesting.
Cherry pie is infamous in closing my eyes.
Really?
Yeah, which forbidden fruit is also infamous in closing my eyes.
Well, and even tangy is very much like a stony, like for me, I completely forget what I'm doing sometimes when I'm high on tangy.
Has anyone ever sold you tangy as a sativa?
Yes.
Going to your terpene comment and how hybrid sativa and indica just like doesn't really work, because I'm like, don't sell me this tangy sativa to like help me stay active, because it's not
totally
what's gonna happen.
Totally. I feel like I mostly see tangy marketed as a sativa or sativa hybrid,
which if they're if they phonetically look like a sativa,
yeah,
the label is correct.
Yeah.
Which is why terpenes are so important.
Right. Totally. Greens. Guest greens.
Or like purples.
Purples. Oh, yeah. That's another amazing thing about forbidden fruit is that it always has such a beautiful purpley orange color.
So pretty. I have looked up the terpene profile for cherry pie and forbidden fruit, because I was like, I have to know what makes me so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
In a good way.
Did you identify that?
I'm looking it up again because I forgot it.
That is tasty.
What's it taste like?
Like a cough. It's, I don't know, like sweet almost.
Yeah, super sweet. Also very orangey.
Yes.
Like you can taste the tangy. Kind of orange creamsicle-ish, almost. I like it. It's flavorful. What is this again? Forbidden fruit. All right. Okay, well, here we go. On to our journey. Forbidden fruit journey.
I'm going to load myself another bowl.
Oh, yeah. Get that fresh. Fresh, green.
But the dominant terpene, according to Leafly, is myrcene, which is the most relaxing terpene.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see. I'm, like, talking into the bong like it's my microphone. So I could see that making me sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to interact with the buds?
Sure, let me take a look.
Because it's like a nice, it's not like overly dry, and it's not overly
moist. You hardly get it out of the jar, it's so big. Yeah, it's lovely. Very frosty.
It is super sweet.
Like dense.
Mm, with that citrus back end.
Mm-hmm. And a perfect cure. That's like an amazing cure, especially for just like how big and dense that nug is.
Right?
Yeah, this looks really nice.
Yeah.
And with the big ones, I'm always like, oh, I don't want to break any off to like grind up or whatever. But
I know.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. I like how orange, like the tangy hairs are so prominent on that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
And Fire Mountain is a hydroponic grow.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I know it's water, right?
Mm-hmm.
They grow in water.
Yeah. Instead of soil.
Right.
And I think the benefit is just that you get to, like, be super specific about the nutrients that are in there, levels that are in the water to grow that are healthy for the plant. I don't know a ton about hydroponic either.
This is like not weed, but I saw somebody hydroponically growing their Monstera plant.
Oh.
And they had like little fishies on the bottom. And it was like, I mean, Monsteras and like those types of tropical plants can like to grow in water and stuff when it's treated nicely. And it's just like, that's such a cool like ecosystem to create in your house.
Have you seen the videos of people like feeding their fish, but they do it in like such an ASMR kind of way? Okay, you guys.
Oh no.
There's this whole genre of videos on YouTube of people who just like feed their fish, but they have these really like biodynamic terrariums where, you know, you'll have like your terrarium and then there'll be, I don't even know the kinds of plants, but then there's like these plants that look like little clover, but it's like aqua clover that cover the surface. And then the video person will like put a heart-shaped cookie cutter or something that'll float in the water, and then they scoop out all of the little sea clover outside of the thing so that there's like a hole for the fishies to come eat, and then they'll drop in like a carrot or like a piece of cucumber or whatever, and then all of these like tiny little fish,
oh my gosh,
like little spermies will just come out of nowhere and just start attacking this carrot, and then the video is like a time lapse of them eating the carrot, and then like that's video. And it's actually quite soothing, and just, I mean, it's like watching a nature show, you know, it's, or watching a mushroom grow.
That's cool though.
Yeah,
there are so many little niche, like I was just talking to Riley about niches yesterday, like all the different like little subcultures of people, but that is very interesting. I like those like satisfying videos.
Exactly, that's exactly what it is.
My go-to is like pressure washing.
Ooh, no. I like okay.
The rug guy.
Rug guys. But I love that people will go out and just perform those services for free.
Yeah.
Because they're getting paid off YouTube. And then like some person who never in their life thought they would be able to afford to get their sidewalk pressure washed now has this like amazing, beautiful landscaping now. Or I've seen cleaning ladies too. Like I follow a cleaning lady who cleans like hoarders' homes for free. Yes. And I'm like, how do you do that? Like, that's your life, is just going into hoarders' homes every day and digging everything out. And for like, good for you. What a service.
I know. I love that. If you can, you know, be of service. Acts of service are important to the community and the universe and stuff. So I'm here for it.
I love it. It's so cool.
Going back to this weed, I was like, caffeinated jittery before I hit it, and now I'm like, feel like I'm calming down.
Nice.
Yeah, I feel like my brain is like just really low and slow, and then we're chatting and I'm like, Melissa, pay attention. Pay attention.
Totally. I know, I'm having a lot of ideas.
Woo! Say your ideas.
I am. It was mostly about the fish and the ASMR videos.
I feel like two bowls gets a good, you know, you get a good sense of like what the weed is about.
Yeah. Give it some time to settle in.
Ground up a little bit. That little nug that I put in fluffed out.
Wow.
A lot.
Yeah.
That was, I didn't think that, I mean, maybe I did think that this would have fluffed up, but it fluffed up a lot. Little goes a long way.
That's one of my favorite like things about. That delights me about weed. If a weed doesn't look like it's going to be that dense, and then you grind it, and it's actually like, it's amazing. Another satisfying thing, like the sheep being sheared. Have you seen the sheep shearing videos?
Yes.
Did we talk about this already?
Where we might have.
The
but
sheep, they shear the sheep, and their wool just like unfolds like this. It's satisfying.
It's kind of like how when I would cut Stax's hair, my dog, he has sheep-like hair.
Yeah.
And, like, you just kind of have to, like, get, like, the whole chunk of it. And it's, but then it grows even bigger because there was so much stuck in that little spot.
Yep. Love it when weed does that, too.
Me, too. Forbidden fruit. Think about satisfying things.
Yeah.
I feel like watching some of those videos right now would feel, like, really nice.
Yeah. That would be a perfect, like, let me just chill.
Yeah.
Relax. But we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about you instead.
Perfect.
So, even Melissa, tell us a little bit about your cannabis journey. What led you to the plant? What keeps you bringing back?
Yeah.
Bringing you back?
Okay, great. So, let's see. My cannabis journey. It started right after high school. My girlfriend always wanted me to smoke with her, and I just did it, and then I met this guy and I smoked with him, and like that was, I never lived that down for my friend, but I would say that overall, I'm just like a casual, casual connoisseur. Love to smoke, love to get down. I'm starting to learn a lot more about like cannabis itself, more than just like, I like to get stoned or like this is a fun thing to do socially or what have you. So I've been smoking for like a decade and just enjoying it.
Love it.
It led us to hanging out.
It did.
Because when we were working together, we were like, are you off? Are you off? You want to go smoke? Yes. Okay. Let's meet. I'll go to your house and sit in the garage on the couch.
Mm-hmm. It's led to a lot of, I think, meeting people mm-hmm. and deepening relationships because cannabis has a way of creating community. And then like also I feel like less judgment of self and of others while you're high.
Yes.
I like that.
Totally.
I agree. Yeah. It definitely helps you like put the wall down so you can feel more safe to express your feelings and stuff.
Yeah. I've always felt like in the realm of friendships that I loved when I could find people that I just like, we don't have to talk to fill up the whole entire time that we're together.
Yes.
Quite often my cannabis friends also feel the same way. So we just are going to hang out, like do chores together or just talk, like not talk, mm-hmm. just be in the presence of another.
Yeah.
It's great for that too.
It really is.
That's something that's totally missing since the lockdowns is at least I don't go over to people's house and just like chill and smoke a bowl anymore. Granted, I have two kids and my life is very busy, so I don't just like have the freedom to do so. But even still, like how often do you guys just go over to someone else's house and smoke who's not each other? Because I know that you guys are like each other.
I only go to her house.
It's not me, it's her, you know?
Never.
Is that something that we want back? Or is that something that's like... Is it a 20s thing? And now that we're entering our 30s, it's a different level. And maybe like the 20-year-olds coming up are still down to like go. And so, I don't know. What do people think? Like, what happened to the stoner community in the pandemic? Lots happened.
Lots. Well, I think definitely the pandemic like squashed anybody going over to
and like sharing a bong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when we were interviewing Avidus, they were sharing a bong, but they were cleaning it out every time. I'm like, we really probably should be doing that anyway, because these bongs right. are disgusting.
Right.
But
I did clean the water this morning, right before you guys came here. Or no, I think you guys might have been here.
But I don't know. I feel like you have, for me anyway, and I am not a representation of the entire whole pie, but for me, I enjoy sharing the bong with people or sharing a joint and like that community circle smoke aspect, but I only like to do it with like trusted people now.
Totally.
And like I'm not in a place where I can just like have people over to smoke weed anymore, so it's like we have to go find somewhere else, mm-hmm. which is another level of tediousness.
Mm-hmm. Tediousness?
Tediousness. I'm trying to say these words and I don't know what the fuck they are. So, but then I also think about the people who are not living in legal states. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I'm like, that's a whole nother experience. Like, I'm living a completely different experience than, like,
so true.
Those people, which is a fact no matter what, but... Forbidden Fruit gone introspective.
I feel like it's a combination for me of things happening around COVID and sharing and like going and seeing people and the fact that I just have like I'm in a new chapter of my life where like I would love to just hang out with my pups. I know the people when there are social gatherings who I can go stand with, who I can go hang mm-hmm. out with, who I could go take a walk with. But for me, it's like definitely transformed more into I just mainly smoke with Riley.
Yeah,
same.
But I will say going to the past couple cannabis events that I've been to, it is very much that old school like, oh, my God, yes, like pass this around, the stab, dab, dab, mm-hmm. like check this out. Here's my jar of like whatever I grew and like have this, have that, like let's share. So it's like, yeah, the camaraderie is still there, and especially in these places where we can come together as a community, the like camaraderie of it is still very much there.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know if I want to be there all the time, and that's exhausting.
Totally.
But I like to, I'm that type of person. I will go to any expo. It could be the taxidermy expo.
That would be dope.
That was a bad example.
I thought you were going to just stop at tax expo, and I'm like, yeah, that would suck.
Okay, maybe that would suck.
But although, unless they were having cannabis industry talks, and then I might actually be interested.
But it's the people who are, like, super passionate. Like, I bet going to a tax expo sounds awful, but being there and seeing everyone's excitement about their tax niche is, like, what I love about these, like, expos or events. It's just, like, everyone's excited about this one thing, and it's bringing us all together to talk about this one thing, mm-hmm. even, from all of our different perspectives. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, I'm excited about the more weed events happening, but I'm very much a hermit every other time.
I feel that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I have no need right now or want to, like, be around anybody else besides... My children are overstimulating enough. Like, I don't need to invite too many other people over to just, like, hang out and smoke. Because, especially because my hang out and smoke time is my alone time. It's, like, at night, the kids are in bed, I am ready to dissociate and, like, just shut off and escape for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I don't need anybody there for that.
Yeah, no, 100%. The routine of your smoking has shifted. I'm, like, trying mm-hmm. to think back of when I wanted people over to smoke. And
yeah.
I feel like at that time I had just some people on dial. Like, yo, mm-hmm. you going to be around? You want to stop by?
Yeah.
Can I stop by
mm-hmm.
on my way out?
Totally.
Yeah.
I think we've all turned into hermits, which I think is also fine.
Yeah, definitely fine.
I'm here for it.
My nature. I am so fine.
Hermit by nature. I love it. So, Melissa, what have you been up to? Entrepreneurship life? Puppy mom life? Listing it out for you.
Thank you. I feel like starting with the one that, like, made us so tired, I'm just like, I have thoughts in my mind, but they're just not coming out of my mouth.
Well, should we smoke a little green crack and in the middle and just or I'm also like very stoned anyway, so we can also take a beat if or smoke a ball, whatever.
Let's smoke a ball, see what happens, and then take a beat.
Okay, cool. Love it.
Great. Okay, so let me tell a little bit more about my cannabis journey. So started smoking right after high school. And started smoking, like, a little bit to be cool. Like I mentioned earlier, I had met, like, a dude who introduced it to me. And it took me the longest time. Tell me if you had the same experience. Smoking out of a bong was, like, mystifying. I was just, like, so confused. And so for the longest time, I would tell this person, like, you have to, like, you do all of it. And finally, they're like, no. You have to light it. And I'm like, okay, I'll light it. And, like, I start out, like, you can even just, like, suck the air into it, into the bong. It just seemed, I didn't really grow up around cannabis prior to this, I guess. And so I graduated, and finally the bong is my favorite thing to smoke out of. And, I've used cannabis sometimes to, like, help me feel better if I'm experiencing, like, a migraine. I found that that really has helped a lot. Or period cramps, so I smoked then too. But mm-hmm. Along the way, through meeting those people who also like to just not talk, hang out, have my little book of people to dial up to go smoke. Where was I? You don't even know where I was going. I was just talking.
You're talking about the people who you.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I feel like. On an interpersonal level or like introspective level of using cannabis, it's really allowed me to release a lot of self-judgment, to accept new ideas with like a more of an open mind and occasionally an open heart. It's really helped me shift a lot of, ideas and beliefs and thoughts. So that's one positive, super positive benefit that I like.
Yes. I super agree with that. Like, growing up, I was definitely among the society where weed was bad. You know, it's this awful drug. Don't ever do it. Don't ever do any drug. And I remember, like, going to college, I met this guy who, like, lived on the floor who was like, do you guys have any acid? And he always wanted to find weed. And at the time, I was like, no, this is not my thing. But it, like, opened me up. And I was like, okay, if this completely normal guy is, like, looking for these experiences, what's so bad about them? And, like, so even before I even started smoking weed, it started, like, opening me up to new ideas. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. The ripple effect.
The ripple effect.
Totally. Yeah, same. I was not into smoking weed, but at that time when it was in front of my face, I was just like, I don't really need this. And I don't care if you're doing it, but I could be around you and I don't really care. And then finally I was like, okay, let's do it. Like, nothing is happening to them, you know? Like, they're just getting maybe a little silly, maybe a little dumb. So, like, let's just see what's up. Mm-hmm. Open the door. And I'm a decade in this beautiful freaking plant. And it just, like, never ceases to amaze me. Mm-hmm. Like, every solution to every problem in the world can be fixed by the cannabis plant.
Right. So. Right. And it's been so demonized against all of that, even as far as the textile thing, you know, and what the physical things you can make with hemp. Hempcrete. I don't know.
The Constitution.
The Constitution was written on hemp paper.
It was. Yes, I'm pretty sure Thomas Jefferson had a hemp farm.
Yep, you're right about that.
Probably, but I'm gonna reload this green crack bowl. But how do we like it?
It's nice.
It's good.
Do we want to smell again?
Much more like. I mean, it's like still citrusy, but more lemony.
Mm-hmm. I usually stay away from green cracks because they will literally crack me out. I don't know. Wow. It's the whatever that terpene is.
Limonene.
Let's look it up.
It smells really good.
Also, if anyone wants to buy us microphone stands, that would be cool.
Do you have an Amazon wish list for the Chronic Gals?
Ugh, we should.
We should. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Add it to your task list.
Yeah.
Check out our Amazon wish list under Chronic Gals Podcast.
Coming out TBD.
Coming out ASAP.
Probably while we're on vacation.
No way. We're not doing any work on vacation.
But that's not work. That's like dreaming
okay,
for
that's
what we
fair.
Want.
That's
yeah.
fair.
Okay. Have some real manifestation vibes.
Yeah. That's yeah. 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 That. Totally.
Skunk number one. It's a cross. So going back to green crack. it's a cross between skunk number one and an unknown indica.
Ooh. Oh, interesting. Definitely skunky. I mean,
myrcene, that tricky dick.
Really high in myrcene too.
It says myrcene, caryophyllene, and pinene.
No, little no limonene.
Well, I mean, I think these are the three top. Let me go off Leafly.
So interesting.
Let me specifically say terpenes in this search. Alpha pinene. Oh, this one says peakterpenes.com says that green crack is a daughter of skunk number one in Afghani.
Oh.
The prominent terpenes in this profile are alpha pinene, myrcene, and beta caryophyllene.
Interesting. Hmm.
Fascinating.
Cannabis is cool.
Cannabis is cool. Is that loaded again?
Yeah, I think you just loaded it. I yeah, that's what you were working on. And then you were like triple multitasking, podcasting, looking stuff up, and loading a bowl.
This is why I don't do green crack. There's too much.
So smoke some more.
Okay, I don't want to mess up the flow of this conversation, but I don't think I've been introduced myself.
Please.
We started talking about the cannabis thing, and I think that might, like, this might fit in nicely. Yeah, so I'm Melissa Jansen. My mindset and confidence coach, and I help women like overcome the mental mean girl, those like disempowering negative thoughts and beliefs in our mind, and create fulfilling and authentic lives by shifting beliefs, creating actionable steps and habits, and just, you know, having a hype partner and accountability partner throughout life. So that's what I do when I'm not doing that. I'm hanging out with my partner. So, as we've described, smoking with Riley. And oh, playing with my pup.
Show me a picture of your pups. Because they're so cute. It's literally, I've seen them. I've hung out with them. I love them.
This one's cute because, there's Dioji. He's a pit bull mix. And then there's Disco Rider. And he is
so cute.
Like a pug mix, I think. But look at him, like, winking.
Yeah, he's like,
he's got a winky eye.
He's winking his ears, too.
He is.
Disco's got big ears. And then he also, it looks like he's wearing eyeliner. He's like a little emo boy.
He's so cute.
He's so cute. I don't think I've met him yet.
Oh, my God.
Definitely met DOG.
He just got his last round of shots. So we're getting him a rabies shot in a couple weeks.
Nice.
He's just too little to have all of them at once. And then he will be free range.
Yay!
Yeah, I love them. They are so cute. And I know that they're a lot, but they're a lot of cuteness.
You know, we're all just a little bit a lot. But
oh, boy.
That's a fact. You know, having a dog or having something that depends on you to, like, keep it alive and to teach it how to behave, it's a lot of work, I feel like.
Totally.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And it takes consistency.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
But we're getting there. We have fun things that we like to do together, and I love snuggle time. But yeah. We play in the yard and go to the park. That's a good time.
I love it.
Awesome. So cute.
Yeah. So that's me. That's who I am. And awesome. Now we're here.
I love it. I love you very much, obviously, too. We're always hanging out. But we are, I don't know, just like doing the entrepreneur thing, and it's living. It's just like very apparent now that like stepping fully into the entrepreneurship life. Like yesterday we worked a little bit and then we went to the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally living the life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun. It's just crazy.
It is crazy.
It's a big scary step to go from like paychecks, and like I always came from the background of the hospitality industry, so like tips, and then I worked corporate for a while, so like steady paycheck, and then taking the dive and like going and actually doing the thing, and then all of the mindset, like all of the drama that comes up for you. I think everybody, when you're like crying because it's not working but still determined that it works, and like not knowing what the fuck you're doing but trying to act like, you know, you're stepping into a new identity and reality.
So when
I made that switch, the biggest thing, that idea that sparked me, was like I had always had these ideas of like what I needed to do before I could become an entrepreneur. I have to pay off my credit card debt before. Mm-hmm. I was like, girl, That's probably not going to happen until you actually have a business that's working. And like, you got to make that step. But yeah, getting 100%. Over those thoughts and beliefs. Yeah. Imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I feel that one hard. And it still like pops up.
Oh,
I feel like since we started the podcast, really, mm-hmm. which kind of began our entrepreneurship journey.
Mm-hmm.
We've been. Oh, fuck. I forgot my train of thought. Never
mind. Imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome.
I feel like we've been...
It's always there, but it's been better. Yeah.
Like, battling it, because in this society, we have to prove something. And if you're not proving something or, like, seeing results, then you're not actually doing it.
Totally.
Even if you are totally doing it and the results don't come until down the line, you know? But you're still doing it every single day, and you will see results. Like, we are seeing results.
Yeah.
We are totally seeing results. And it's been a 4-year journey. And there have been moments where it's like, are we just spinning? Or does
wasting
this
time
make sense? Are we, what are we fucking doing?
Yeah.
But it's like, I literally don't want to do anything else.
Right. Every time I think about like maybe going back and getting a part-time job or something, I'm like, but that is time that I could literally put into making my business dreams come true.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I would much rather do that.
Yeah. If you have the space and the privilege to be able to, hell,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
100%. I took a part-time job over the summer, had great social connection, made like a couple of friends, and it was such a mindset. Like, I had to reframe how I felt about even just getting it. I needed to get it for my, like, my mental health, but going back and like waiting tables and all of these things came up that I thought I had got over. About like my worth or who I thought I could be. And then I was like, Melissa, entrepreneurship, like going after your dream life. I have a foot cramp. Oh my gosh. is like going to be scary. But you got to look at it as like all of your past experiences are just tools in your tool belt to move forward. So I was like, oh, I have this great tool, something that I'm fucking good at. Let's mm-hmm. like have a remembrance. It at the end of the summer, I just... On Monday was my last day. Woo! And now I have like a new like thing. Like I can actually be fucking stellar at something because I'm stellar at waiting tables. So now I have this new energy. Like I'm just remembering I'm in the beginner stage of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And soon it's going to be like going back and waiting tables and being like, yeah, I am fucking good at something.
Mm-hmm.
What a reminder.
I love that. That's like such an important reframe because I feel like so many people when they... You know, if they start the entrepreneurship journey and then they find themselves like needing to get a job in order to like support
pay
them.
Bills,
and yeah.
Survive.
And it's, but I remember when you said that you were getting going back to getting a job at a brewery and the why behind why you're doing that. And it was for what you were just saying, for your mental health, so you could have more social connection. And then I think you had like a monetary goal. So it was like, yeah, why can't you just get a part-time job to fulfill those goals? And then when the goals happen, then that's it. You know, we have this idea that a job has to be forever,
mm-hmm.
but it can just be a tool in the tool belt. And your whole reframe about how it's like you're good at something, you're excellent at waiting tables, so you can be excellent everywhere else in your life. Fuck yes.
It's just a side quest.
Love that. But yeah, it's super empowering. That yeah. was like really something. And at first, I was trying to make it in my own mind. This is like all my own like drama. Make it feel like I've given up on my business or I've given up on something. Mm-hmm. And so then I made an investment with my business and over the summer worked towards that as well. And so now I was like, we're just harvesting all that growth from the summer.
So good.
Or,
so
you know, good. From that reframe. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. To go back to the imposter syndrome thing that we were talking about, something that's really helped me approach imposter syndrome is learning how to identify when it comes up. Like, what does it feel like? What kind of, I don't know, situations or circumstances or comments or whatever trigger it? How do I react to it? And then once I've been able to do that, I can like wave at it and be like, oh, hey. Because it's not going to go away. Mm-hmm. And when we were talking about like getting over, but this is the thing. I think of entrepreneurship as kind of like Mario, old school Mario Brothers. And every level, you know, you still do the same moves and stuff, but it's just more difficult. And as you like get better, we're never going to like get over these things that we always try to be like, once I no longer have imposter syndrome or once I no longer am lazy, like air quotes there, then I can like do it. But if you just like, you're like, yeah, it's part of the journey. And then mm-hmm. every time that you think that you've mastered it, you just like face it in a new way.
100%.
Yes.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's a spiral.
Yeah.
Totally.
Just keeps going. So you just like level up to the next level and you got to use those same tools.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. And it's totally about like using the tools, grabbing the tool, putting it in your tool belt, and like knowing when to use it at that point. And that's what learning is.
Mm-hmm.
And at all aspects of everything, you know.
I saw something online. I think it was from Pee the Fairy. But it was like a poster that said, your triggers are just your ego showing where your, like, identity boundaries are. So if you want to step into a new identity, if you want to, like, level up, then you, the trigger is just, like, showing you where you need to adjust your identity outfit, you know? Does that make sense?
And that's totally the best way to switch the mindset of your trigger. Mm-hmm. Instead of, like, getting stuck in the trigger and reacting to the trigger, you can finally, like, you can maybe react to the trigger and then step back and be like, oh, shit, this is a trigger. Mm-hmm. What do I need to do to fix myself? Because it's usually a what do I need to fix myself situation.
Totally.
You know? Love that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's a lot of microphones. Sorry.
Too much to handle.
It's a lot to handle.
So, speaking of dreaming our dreams, what's your entrepreneurship dream?
Overall?
Overall, big picture dream.
Man.
Dream.
Yeah. Well, I'm here to, like, cross off the bucket list things. So, motivational speaker, author, podcast host, TED Talk, you know, host or speaker, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, create income, money, revenue, by, like, making an impact on other people's lives in, like, however, whatever form that comes. I really think that a lot of what we experience here is based on our mindset, or, like, you are with yourself 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. So, like, learning how to, like, speak back to that person that you talk to all the time in your mind and, like, you know, can help you live a more fulfilled life, an authentic life to you over time. So that's what I want to help inspire people to do.
I love that.
Yeah. Personally, like, big goal here for this business is, like, just provide freedom of time, attention, and space to myself and my family. And to, like, provide opportunity for others. Like, if I'm not in business just to have business for myself, I'm in business to give options for the people that are in my life or who may come into my life, and kind of change what it looks like to be treated in an employee-employer relationship.
Love that. Yes. Let's create that whole new dynamic, because the current one is strange.
Yeah. I saw a post recently somebody had shared on Instagram saying that they had an employee, like their assistant or something. They gave them time off for their birthday and then two week paycheck for their birthday. And, like, wow. So that, like, just benefits. Like, yeah. If you're a business owner, I could go back to this. If you're a business owner and you have people working for you, those people, I want to treat them with so much respect and opportunity and growth and appreciation and value, because they're running my business. They're making what, and if I'm going to do that, like, nice thing for myself, not that, then I want to do it for them.
Totally.
100%.
You know what
I
mean? Totally.
I will never understand why it's the treat the employee shitty paradigm right now. I will never understand that, because it's like,
it's a power dynamic.
It is, because everything
has just been structured in this power dynamic where there has to be, in order for anybody to listen to you, you have to, like, aggressively control them.
It's so silly. I'm here to provide the opposite of that.
Yeah.
I love the idea of just throwing shit at our employees.
I know.
I love you. You rock.
That's the best part.
There's a bunch of cool stuff. I appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for working so hard for my vision.
Mm-hmm. I started watching this new show on Netflix. I think it's called Partner Track. And it's about this gal, this lawyer who works at a law firm, and she's on the partner track. It's very much like a romance novel turned to Netflix, where there's, like, the lawyer that she had this connection with at the last year's party, but now she's dating this other guy, you know, whatever. But it's all about her job, where she's working like 100-hour weeks because she's an Asian woman in a white male owned law firm. So she has to like put in extra hours and be extra smart in order to show up the other competition, all the other white boys in the office, you know, it's, mm-hmm. That whole rat race is stupid, and it's like torturous, and even
it is.
Like medical school too. Like they're mm-hmm. literally putting people through torture for what, 12 years in order to make them like be doctors. Like they're putting, I don't know. I just think the whole medical system of, you know, learning doctors in residency, having to work 24-hour shifts,
yeah.
barely being able to sleep. Like how is that patient care?
Right. Same thing with nurses who work 12s or whatever.
Absolutely.
Like,
how yeah. is that the best thing for the patient?
Right. Or even the doctorate process, or like any types of master's degree, having to write 4 essays in 2 days and 5 tests. And
intern work that's unpaid. I have a friend that got her master's and like, yeah, she was working a part-time job to pay her bills. Working like almost full-time job at this intern place, not getting paid because it was a requirement for graduation or whatever, and then having to also do school. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are you like?
Yeah,
why can't she be being paid for like learn? Like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
Right. That's why we're shifting it. That's why we're changing it. Yep. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Fuck all of that. I know. Horrible.
We're here to shift all of that. We're bringing in love and happiness and gratitude.
And like not obscene hours.
Right.
Like,
have you heard about this quiet quitting?
Yes.
Do you know? Can you explain it to me?
Yes.
Yes.
Love it. I'll load another bowl.
So instead of going above and beyond for your job, putting in extra time or hours, or like taking up the mental space to worry about your 9 to 5 when it's not 9 to 5, people are just not doing that anymore. So they're not quitting to leave the company, but they're not putting in that additional. Like,
good
goodness. So
good.
Oh, trying to think of what I want to say here. I think that I wish that I knew that there was a name for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are prior, if I was able to just send a message back to prior versions of myself, there are many times that I think that that might have been more valuable than the exchange for energy and mental space I gave.
Totally.
My 9 to 5.
Who's calling it quiet quitting? Are the companies calling it quiet quitting, or are the workers calling it quiet quitting?
I think it started on TikTok. I feel like everything starts on TikTok.
I know.
But now it's just, I see it used everywhere. The media, yeah.
I think I saw an article about it first. But I'm also not huge on TikTok.
I feel like I just watched a bunch of reaction to it, and so I didn't really know what it was.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Yes.
Like, obviously, if you have a contract to perform these services and have these job responsibilities, once those things are ticked off, you should be, you know, that's it. You're done for the day. You know, 5 o'clock.
I don't know.
Clock out. But I feel, and I feel like a lot of it, going back to TikTok, there's a lot of millennials online that are talking about the mistreatment at work and how the mm-hmm. current paradigm that, you know, our parents and grandparents came through is completely obnoxious and overbearing.
It is overbearing.
We are now the generation that's going to say, fuck that no more. I mean, so many millennials are talking about it on TikTok, about how anxious they are, like, because of their job. Like, I know, I follow at least 2 or 3 accounts that's, like, their whole shtick is that they are anxious millennials at a corporate job. That's it. Is this the green crack or the dosey dough? Yeah,
it's the green crack again. We'll go. I figured or we'd do that punch. one more time just to get a real impact.
I've been impacted.
Same.
I mean, I have too, but.
Yeah. So we're here to restructure that. And at least with what I'm in pursuit of building with my business, that I just want to change the employee-employer dynamic. Mm-hmm. And like, I would like my employees and the people that work for me and help me build my business be able to pursue their individual dream life pursuits. And if that means that we're a stepping stone, we're a stepping stone. If that means, you know, but along the way, make it so we're helping everybody, not just ourselves.
Yes.
100%. I'm totally down for being a stepping stone in someone's career.
Me too.
Because, like, that's just, like, human development.
Right.
You know, like, unless you want to be in this job and you're, like, that's your passion is to be my assistant for 50 years. Like, love that. But, like, if this could just be a moment where you can learn a bunch of stuff and then fly away, mm-hmm. that's more brilliant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or if you're, like, really into, like, watercolor painting, I'm thinking of, like, the other way of this assistant. Mm-hmm. And, like, you just want to fucking be able to afford all the sweet-ass water things, right. go to your watercolor painting weekend or whatever. And being my assistant, you're great at it. And that's, like, you have this other thing that you're pursuing and you just work to, like, do whatever.
Totally.
Then best. I want to be able to, like... Yeah,
support
yeah, you. That. Support me. Support you.
Watercolor yeah, weekend. Hell yeah. yeah! Sponsor watercolor yeah. weekend.
I'm like, I know we're that's all not going watercolor, to come but
on watercolor yeah. weekend.
Yeah,
we're gonna be that kind of employer. We're going to take over. It's a company retreat now.
Yeah,
we're like, no, we are all going to watercolor. No,
get all the content.
Yeah.
Well, and going back to the expo conversation, seeing people in their element, loving their shit.
Yes. Yes. It's beautiful to see somebody lit up about what they're into.
Because mm-hmm. they will go above and beyond without asking for anything. It's because they want to. And mm-hmm. it's a positive energy exchange, mm-hmm. you know? Yes. Like, there's definitely burnt out above and beyond resentment. And I've felt that. And that is no fun. And it's not good work. It's
no,
just
it's not. It's not.
So... foster positive energy exchanges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that bowl just hit me.
No,
again.
Totally. Green crack will zip you up and let you fall the fuck out.
Totally. Drop you off a cliff.
Yeah. I had a question.
I have one. One thing that I loved that you started doing, I don't know, a couple years ago, was My Life is a Saturday. And you just, like, adopted this beautiful mindset where no matter what you were doing, your life was just going to be, you're, like, always going to live it to be to the fullest, as if your every day was a Saturday. So can you talk on that a little bit?
Yeah. That gave me all the, like, feelings in my belly. yeah. So I don't know how... or like what the exact moment was, but I was using hashtags on Instagram and I was like, my life is a Saturday. It's that feeling of like work's done, over with, Saturday's here, you got Sunday to worry about whatever, and so you're just gonna like live in the present moment, so be available to what's coming. Some Saturdays it's like getting up early and going for a hike, like, you know, some Saturdays you're just laying in bed watching TV, drinking your favorite morning drink, you know, coffee, tea,
I like
whatever.
That said yeah. that.
Very PC. All encompassing.
Enjoying life as it comes. Saturdays are just a lot of fun. So I tried to, yeah, develop moments in my life and that make it feel like a Saturday. That make me feel peaceful, rested, like there's opportunity upon the horizon and we have like all day to just be, you know? So yeah, so now I use it. Well, I mean, if you want to look up My Life is Saturday hashtag on Instagram, you can see what it's all about. But yeah, making, creating and sharing those moments. Tried to make an acronym for it. Like my life is a Saturday, so the first letter of all of those. Mm-hmm. Magic, imagination, laughter, adventure, sunsets. So,
oh, that's so cute.
That is life. Super cute.
Those are kind of things that I like look to incorporate into the day.
What a cute little exercise. That, I feel like that's something anybody could do. Like if they, it's, if they, you know, have a phrase that's meaningful to them, or even, I don't know, their own word of the year. You know, some people like focus on a word each year. Mm-hmm. You can list out things that make you feel that sentiment and make your own little acronym, and then find those things in your life to remind you of that thing. I don't know. I love that.
New freebie.
New freebie.
It's, you heard it here first.
Stay till the end for the emoji. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a great exercise, and like you're right, it could be applicable to everybody. But creating that Saturday feeling, yeah.
I got that Saturday feeling. Whoa, that Saturday feeling. You guys can stop me anytime.
I'm like, were you making?
I'm too stoned to stop you.
I was trying to come up with the next words, but I don't know.
That's all right.
So, what are you offering now as far as like your businessy things?
Yeah. So, right now, I am filling spots for my one-on-one private coaching. It's a 12-week container where we work one-on-one to help you shift from like what the fuck to, you know, more of a holy fuck feeling in your mindset. We work on the thing that I call the mental mean girl. It's that judgment, guilt, shame, imposter syndrome, the internal voice in your head telling you, like, for some odd reason in a million usually, that you're not able to do it. We work through those for a couple of specific goals over the course of the 3 months. And at the end, you have, you know, a framework, tools, accountability, hype, support to help you be in a spot of creating a more fulfilling and authentic life, whatever that looks like for you. So I have 4 spots available that I am looking to fill over the next 45 days. And
hey,
I would love
fill her spot. Fill her spot.
Yeah, the my one-on-one coaching. it's really for the person who's ready to. They're just done with like the excuses. They're ready to have, you know, put in the work for themselves for that inner transformation, and I'm here to help them, support them along the way. So,
yeah. Heck yeah. And so many people are going through those moments of transformation right now. And I feel like a lot of them don't even realize that help or support is available. Mm-hmm. So I hope that people who hear this can, you know, whether it's working with you or working with another coach, mm-hmm. if you're trying to change your life and you need someone just to like have your back, what a great support. What a great investment in yourself, you know?
Yeah, a viewpoint that I have on investing in coaching, because there's a thing called cost, and that's how much something costs, but there's a thing called investment, and that's when you put in something and you have a return. Mm-hmm. Things that we learn together in like my coaching packages specifically are life skills that you have to add on and build upon and help take you through tools. The next level.
Yes.
Tools for your tool belt. Yeah.
You know?
So.
That's so good.
I think it's a, yeah.
I love that.
Coaching has changed my life, and I've always wanted to have an online-based business where I'm able to make an impact, and for a while I thought that might be a blog because I'm a great writer, and but I really realized that this is like more of that like one-on-one, mm-hmm. like that like individual transformation.
Totally.
That I'm here to do.
And I think accountability buddy that you said earlier, did you say that earlier? I think that was something that was said earlier. What is a like really great way of describing like what you do? You like help someone through the process which is very helpful. So.
So helpful.
So helpful.
Very helpful.
This green crack smacked me.
Same. We should smoke the Dosey Punch.
Dosey Punch. Number three.
This is another purpley one, isn't it?
It's purplish. Super frosty. It is purple. Has orange hairs.
Excuse me.
I love it. Very pretty.
Wow, there is a lot of weed on the table.
It's because these nugs puff up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bigger than I expect them to be.
That's right. Too stoned to have conversation now. I'm just going to watch you load
this
the grind.
This is like so frosty. Like the inside of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like sometimes the outside doesn't do you justice.
Yeah.
It's all about that. The inside. Ooh, yeah. I'll make sounds.
Great.
Yeah, it's like purple on the outside, green on the inside. I feel like this is going to also puff up.
Okay, can I ask some questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
I'll make them cannabis related. Okay, so what is your current, like, favorite way to consume?
I smoke out of the bong, yeah. Primarily. Uh-huh. I'll even get pre-rolls, but then I'll empty the pre-roll into the bong.
Been there.
Mostly because, like, it's a strain that I wanted to try, and mm-hmm. they just didn't have it in the flower, or I don't want to pay, like, the full flower price. I'm being a cheapskate and just, like, you know, trying sampling a bunch of different strains. That's not a cheapskate. That's sampling a bunch of different strains, and that's actually becomes more expensive. Look at yeah. it. Fluffed open.
It did fluff.
Very okay. fluffy.
Anyway, no. So I love my little pre-roll flights, but yeah, I'll empty them into the bong.
Oh, so sweet.
That is such a cute idea, a pre-roll flight.
Yeah.
Like, what a great marketing tactic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've done that too. Because I gotta wait for your answer. Then I have one more question.
I've been smoking a lot of joints. Just a lot of joints. Rolling them, pre-rolls. I or a bong. But the thing is that my primary place of smoking is my car. Parked, of course, in mm-hmm. the driveway. Mm-hmm. But then if, like, we leave the bong in the car, it's just, like, sun, water, bong.
Oh, and it gets hot.
And it's hot. And summer. we clean it, but it's, like, I feel like you just can't clean it enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, joints. Or dabs. Mm-hmm. We've been on the dab train.
Dab train.
Okay, my last question. Sorry, I feel like I have to cough again. One second. Okay. Most memorable smoking spot. Like, what is, like, the most memorable time that you've smoked or place you've smoked or, like, situation?
There was one place that I remember. I think it's near Fort Stevens on the Washington-Oregon coast, near this octopus-looking tree. I think it was called the Octopus Tree. And we, like, found this spot that was on a cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean. We could see the beach down below, and the waves were, like, crashing on the shore. It was me and Riley. I don't know.
Was I there?
You were there. Adam was there, and I don't remember who.
Was Evan there? Was it the time we went with Evan?
Might have been the time we went with Evan. But I feel like Evan would have been there smoking with us.
But he didn't. He was young.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. But yeah, we were just like, this is. I made a fucking Instagram story or something about it. We were like, this is only 60 minutes away from our. It's only an hour and a half away from us. If people aren't taking advantage of the beautiful scenery that we have here. I don't remember what You know, it's only 2 hours away. Like, just take advantage. It's so beautiful. We like went on this like rant about how amazing and beautiful it was. Do you not remember?
I don't remember this at all.
I'm pretty sure I have the story saved in.
I hope somewhere. We can find it. Because if we can find it, I will. We okay. can repost
I'll
it.
Look.
We
should
make
even...
a reel of it.
Yeah.
I hope we find it. Because I would like to remember this. This sounds fun.
So that was super memorable. It was like a beautiful day. Yeah, it was just great.
Oh, I love that. I'm
trying to figure out what my most memorable.
I have a lot. I'm like remembering another one.
If you can remember another one.
Oh, okay. On the hill at the gorge at like Paradiso or pretty much any totally. Music festival when the sun is setting, smoking a bowl.
Yeah.
That place,
that's cool.
Insanely beautiful.
I would say my most recent cool spot. Okay, I have a couple. I mean, the most recent was was out at Cape Hope. In the gorge on the Washington side on 14, it's like that cliff where you can pull over and take a photo of the gorge. Mm. Warren and I went out before, well, we tried to go out before sunrise. Well, we did get it out before sunrise, but it was like bright. But like the planets were supposed to be aligning on one of these days in June or something. And so we went out and tried to see it. And we saw a few planets. But we stopped for the sunrise and we rolled a joint and hotboxed the car with like the seven other groups that were with us for the sunrise. But that was pretty cool.
Nice.
And then I would say anywhere we were smoking weed on the trip across the country mm-hmm. in the moving vehicle, which is not advised. But it's pretty cool being in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And like no one's around.
Yeah.
And it's like 4 a.m. when you're like, no one's around. And no one's around for miles.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's pretty fun.
That's crazy.
What about you? You've seen a lot of places. You've been to a lot of places.
That's true.
Yeah. I feel like there was one time I was in California in the Bay Area. I went out to like... I think it's called like Half Moon Bay. I'm not totally positive, but I went out to the beach, did some work in the car, and then sat on the beach and watched the sunset behind like these ocean, like rocks out in the ocean, kind of like at, you know where I'm talking about, on the Oregon coast?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
at Cannon Beach, but further down.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this
yeah,
is
yeah.
like way in San Francisco area. Sun setting, just me hanging out, doing my thing. Beautiful moment. But pretty much watching the sunset anytime is
anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yeah.
And
The
Stonehenge, you know.
Oh, yes, yes.
Like
I've never
14.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I've been there quite a few times, like for sunrise or sunset, because it's like a 2-hour drive, but depending on if it's cloudy or not. You can, it's like really pretty. But the thing's okay. cool. It's just like a mini. We should go. Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, stay tuned cool. for that video.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
That chaos video. Just kidding, that would be so fun. Not chaotic at all.
Well, we'd probably bring the kids and it would definitely
that
be
would
chaotic
be chaos. But that's fun.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun. They'd yeah. love to play around it.
Yeah, I think they would too.
Yeah. I did a panorama. I went with my cousin and a friend, and we did a panorama of me and my friend running through, like, he did a circle, and then we would, like, you know,
yes.
run to the other side.
Yeah.
So there's, like, 14 of us.
Love that.
That's so funny.
We did that on a road trip to
the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm. And we, yeah, found this rest stop. I don't know where we were.
We were in
Utah.
We were in Canyonland. Not, like, Canyonland, but we were in the canyons of Utah.
And it had, like, a train museum.
It was the coolest rest
stop. That you could,
there
like,
was,
play on the tracks.
Yeah.
Oh.
With dinosaur information.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It was a really cool rest stop.
Yeah.
And a gender-neutral bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
It was,
nice.
I'm telling you.
It
was
a really nice rest stop.
I remember that.
Yeah. But we did a panoramic there.
Yeah.
Dad did the circle, and we
yeah.
did, showed up, like,
yeah.
six times.
Those are so fun. You guys should do one in the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. Oh, my God, Aisling. I was on the Atlantis Instagram, and they have mermaids.
Cool.
Don't tell Mara.
Okay. Is it like a show, or do they just have them in their
tanks?
Dope.
Cool. So we can come across she can come across a mermaid.
That's awesome.
How magical. Mom was like, oh, my God. We have a surprise, Mom. I'm like, I know. It's going to be awesome. And I do remember that time, the octopus tree time.
Yeah, did it come to you?
It's come to me. Yes, yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good time.
Was a really cool tree. Oh, my God.
Anyway.
This weed is really good.
Yeah, that's excellent.
This dosey dough is giggly.
Dosey punch.
Dosey punch. Thank you.
Number three
is giggly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My face hurts a little bit.
Okay. Officially high.
Yes. Officially high.
Well.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
That took a really long time for me to figure out. What is that phrase? Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
Bada bing.
Well, if anybody's interested in following you or wants to reach out to work with you, where can they find you?
Yes. Please come hang out with me. My favorite place to hang out online is on Instagram. It's @MelissaJanson, JANSON, like a lady named Jan has a son. I would love to connect with you and meet you and find out a little bit more about you. I love connecting online, and you'll always find me on the Instagram like nearly every day. If you find me from this, if you like listen to this, you're like, okay, she's cool. send me a DM or comment on something on the Instagram page, a emoji of a tree, and then I'll know that you came from the Chronic Gals, and we could just do a little icebreaker about that.
Love it.
I love that little emoji idea.
I know.
That makes me smile inside.
We gotta start doing it.
I know. Trees. Comment trees.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dosey punch. Okay. Well, thank you for being on our show.
Thanks for having me.
This has been really fun. Thank you to the delicious weed from Fire Mountain. Excited to try more of that.
Yeah, well done.
Yes.
Check it out, Ariel, Washington, or at a dispensary near you, more like it.
Okay, we'll see you next time.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Visit our website, chronicgals.com, for show notes of current and past episodes.
Follow us on Instagram @chronicgals_podcast to check out what crazy things we're up to.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel to watch the video versions of these episodes. And make sure you hit the like button and the notification button to get notified when we post a new video.
Rate, review, and share our hilarious podcast.
Hilarious.
Because the best recommendation is from people you trust.
See ya.
Bye.